Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a process that unlocks the full power, passion, and unlimited potential of your team to deliver your strategic vision of the future. We want to thank our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, and Be Local. We're all focused on supporting this next generation of leader. Welcome to the show. Some people in the world are just wired to make a difference. Our guest today is one of those individuals. AJ Vandeven, welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD.
Thank you so much. Really excited to be here.
AJ is focused on building a more sustainable future through education, community involvement, and water conservation. He is the CEO of CalSense, which is the premier resource for quality irrigation controllers, water and labor saving accessories, and advanced water management software. He's on the list of San Diego Business Journal's best leaders, best place to work, involved with multiple organizations, including chairman of EquiLife Conservation. AJ and I had a chance to meet through the BBB, and I'm a water guy. Some people like to go to the mountains. I'm a beach guy, sailboat racer, even worked at Water Health International back in the day. Getting someone to come in and talk about water is a dream come true for me. So AJ, to kick this off, give us a little background of who you are, maybe a defining moment or two as you, you know, went through life here that's gotten you to where you are today.
Absolutely. It's a fun story. You know, when I was growing up, I definitely struggled in school. You know, that was just something that I always had to kind of deal with. And as time went on, I got into college. I went to Cal State San Marcos locally here in San Diego County, up in North County, and had a great time. Did business, did computer science, and really just at the time focused on what's going to make me better. You know, my father was very successful in business, and so I wanted to be successful in business. And he retired at a young age, so I had aspirations to retire at a younger age. Spoiler alert, I missed. That's fine. I got this. And
well, we live longer now, AJ.
Oh, that's fair. We should do this more often. So one of the really what kind of started my move into water conservation is kind of a really unique story. My parents had been traveling quite a bit. I was living at home during college, and they stated they wanted to be home a little bit more, feel a little bit more grounded, which I was fine with, except I didn't really see myself living with my parents anymore. You know, it was nice as they were traveling that, you know, kind of had the house to myself, do whatever I wanted to do.
Well, at 40, AJ, it's time to move on.
Yeah, that's fair. And so I was wrapping up my senior year of college and decided to get my own apartment. Fortunately, as a result of moving out, I also had to cover my own health benefits. And me knowing nothing about health benefits, I'm like, hey, simple, I'm just going to go on my dad's Cobra. Not realizing Cobra cost more than the rent for my two-bedroom apartment. And I was venting to one of my friends at college, and she said, hey, if you come work at Starbucks, you get full medical benefits, and you only have to work 24 hours a week. So I'd been running a small business on the side. I was wrapping up college, kind of looking at my schedule. I'm like, ah, I could do 24 hours, just free caffeine.
Things you could do at that age.
Yeah, exactly. So nights and weekends, I started working at Starbucks. As you can tell, I'm pretty social. You know, really enjoy networking people, got to know a lot of regulars. And one day somebody came in and handed me a business card and said, hey, why don't you come in for an interview sometime? My daughter mentioned that you have done some software programming in the past and would love to interview you. That individual was now the former president of CalSense. I went to the website, which at the time, you know, being in the early 2000s, pretty atrocious. And I was like, wow, they turn sprinklers on and off. That is the least sexy job on the face of the planet. But honestly, I've never actually interviewed for a job before. So I'm going to do this as a way to up my interview skills a little bit. Got to know the president, the vice president of sales. And on the second interview day, I got to meet the engineers. And learning about all the different sensor inputs and outputs and, you know, how they interfaced with the hardware and the software and a desktop application that would call up using a dial-up modem to manage your irrigation just seemed really cool. I'm like, hey, this sounds better for benefits than Starbucks does. So I took the job as a junior software engineer, effectively straight out of college, writing code for irrigation controllers. And what was interesting at the time, I actually didn't care about water conservation of the planet, But I got a lot of pride driving around, seeing our product everywhere. We work with cities and school districts and colleges, universities, including my alma mater. So knowing that I helped build something that they were using just felt really good. And my goal at the time was after 2 or 3 years, I was going to go quit and go make more money somewhere else.
That's always the plan, everybody. I'm only going to be here for a year.
Exactly.
Two,
well,
right?
Especially in
20 years later, you look around and go, wait a minute.
Software engineering, that was the thing. Every 2 to 3 years, you make 10,000 more just by going somewhere else. I stuck around because I kept getting involved in new and unique challenges. So I started by writing code for the controller. Then I got to move into the desktop application side and actually work on the desktop application. I actually got to create an industry-first application that would pull real-time weather information anywhere in the United States to be able to give real-time weather without the need for a rain bucket or any other weather sensors. We basically used remote sensing and satellite imagery to get that data. Again, that was really prideful. Like, oh, I love that I got to build this. And it wasn't actually until I was about to take over. So I'd been in the engineering world for 11 years. At CalSense, was offered the opportunity to take over as president. I'm looking around me. I see the senior leaders. I see that I'm jumping over all these people who have been here literally 30 years by the time that I was going to be taking over.
Why me?
Very, very nervous, but I was like, hey, they must have seen something in me. During my time, I'd try to get involved in every aspect of the business, helping sales and service and production and things like that. So I was excited for the opportunity. I felt I could do really well. And it was actually a few months before I finally took over that I realized what kind of difference we made. You know, I'd gone through a few different programs, including Citizens Water Academy with the San Diego County Water Authority and a water program at Cal State San Marcos. And about 2 months in, I realized we save billions of gallons of water every year, and we're not talking about it. We're talking about, hey, we've got this really cool technology that's going to, you know, turn your sprinklers on and off and, you know, help you save some time,
save some money. Right?
Yeah. But we are making a huge impact, and especially with the Paris Climate Agreement and people becoming more focused on ESG and things like that. Like, why aren't we talking about this? So 6 months after taking over, I finally said, hey, I've got 93 things that we need to start working on. And one of those was reimagining our messaging. And, you know, in fact, my entire—
The bigger story.
Yeah. In fact, for me, my entire life changed when I had that epiphany. I've got two young kids. We have raised planter beds where they grow their own fruits and vegetables and some flowers. We've got a rain barrel. We actually have an aquaponics system. So it's a fish tank that has produce on top. So the waste from the fish actually fertilizes the plants. And so we make fresh lettuce from that. Yeah, we've got a composter. So, you know, my kids call it the piggy. So we throw food in there and they spin it and, you know, creates this tea that we can put over all the plants to help them. And it just, my entire life changed from being prideful with the product that we have to having pride for the difference that we're making on the planet and being able to inspire all of our team members now to use that same messaging and really become purposeful in what we do and why we do it, much more so than, you know, here's a widget, you want to buy one. It's, we have a solution that's going to make an impact for the world. No, by the way, you'll also save some money and save some labor. You want to buy one. It's very different from here's a widget. And it's just, it's been an amazing journey. I'm so honored to be part of this now, being able to make that difference.
There's a couple of things on all that I'd like to unpack. The last piece, that's kind of what this is all about, the belief that your business is a platform for doing something more significant than just making money. And you discovered that in your case is right in the product itself.
Absolutely.
And be able to inspire other people to step into this. Say, yeah, we're doing something that's bigger than me and is important in the world. And that's always a great enrolling conversation. But I want to go all the way back to the Starbucks piece. How often do you go into a Starbucks or a fast food or something like that, and you got some kid and it's probably their first job, you get attitude. Like, I don't want to be here.
Absolutely.
But missing out on this huge opportunity that you don't know who you're dealing with. I mean, the person standing there could be your future boss, which leads, you know, down the road that you just got describing. People just miss that opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. You know, when I speak to especially college-age students, it's exactly what I tell them. You know, I go deeper into that story because you never know who you're meeting. You could be meeting your future employer. You could be meeting a future spouse. You could be meeting, you know, any number of people who at some point in your life may be impactful, influential in any number of ways. It's a matter of making your own opportunities. You know, you have the choice on how you show up to work every single day. if you show up with a bad attitude, there no opportunities are going
to
be afforded.
Yeah, no one's going to have any interest in talking to you. They're just going to say, yep, that was a bad experience. Thank you.
Exactly. But if you take the other approach and you treat everybody with a smile, me, even at Starbucks, I found a way to give back. You know, my logic was, let's say you walked in and you were having a really rough day and we can see it on your face. I guarantee you we can see it on your face. You come in and I greet you with a smile. I get your drink exactly on point. It's made, you know, quickly. You're able to get out of there as quickly as you need to. Hopefully I've made your day a little bit better. Even if your day hasn't been better, hopefully the person that you're going to chew out later that day, their day is going to be a little bit better because you're going to be in a slightly better mood.
A little better space.
Even if you don't realize it. I was always looking at how can I make people's lives better, even doing something as simple as coffee.
Love it. That's amazing. The second piece is this whole idea that we all see a product and we just see this product. And when you get into it and around it, you start to unpack it and all the things that come in, you know, involved in making that particular product. I always find that to be really interesting. There's always so much more going on than your first impressions of something. And I think that's the experience you had, like, oh, they shut sprinklers on and off.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
How exciting can that be, right?
Correct.
And then you start to go, wow, there's all these other pieces. So again, back to like when people kind of go through the world and they think about certain stuff and or have an opportunity to engage in things, there's always this opportunity to find out there's a whole lot more going on than you ever guessed.
Yeah. Well, and you know, being in that sustainability space, you know, it's interesting because we're lucky in that we have a product that makes a big impact. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to find other ways to make an impact. So there's so many other companies out there who are doing really good things, even if their product isn't tailored towards making a difference. You know, we've partnered, for example, with UPS. They have a carbon offset program. So everything that we ship, we basically pay extra to offset the carbon footprint of shipping that product. We've gone through a process.
So that's understanding the whole supply chain.
Exactly.
Right? You know, as a company, you know, how do we want to show up?
Correct. You know, we worked with the city of Carlsbad and the state of California to get a green business certification. So, and that involved, you know, replacing all of our traditional, you know, tube lights with LEDs and making sure that we had automatic off switches in the restroom. So if people forgot to turn light off, it automatically turned off a few seconds later or a few minutes later. You know, making sure that we didn't have any leaks and all these sort of things. And, you know, there's so many companies who are doing those same things, even if it's just, you know, somebody who runs a photography studio. You know, all these different people, they're making that difference. But if you don't look under the covers, you don't realize it. You just see their end product, and it may be a great product, but you don't realize all the effort they're putting in to try to be a better steward of our planet and of our environment. And the more I've gotten involved in the sustainability movement, the more I'm realizing how many companies there are out there doing that, from small businesses up to very large businesses.
The other part of that is your employees are seeing it.
Absolutely.
Right? So even if the customer doesn't see that, the people working with you, they see that.
Yep.
And that's a very enrolling kind of position to be in.
Yeah.
You know, you want to work down the street or you want to work here? All those things start to add up, especially with the younger generation.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, so tell us a little bit about CalSense.
Oh, yeah, I guess I probably should start with that after my really long story.
No. We want to know about you first. This is great groundwork. So
CalSense, we've been around since 1986. We were founded initially with the development of soil moisture sensors. So our founder at the time, he was working for TRW, had several hundred engineers working for him, and they tasked him with figure out the next big thing that TRW needs to explore. He spent several months. He came back and said soil moisture for landscape irrigation. And needless to say, TRW was not impressed, and he asked if he could take everything he learned and go start his own business, and they let him. In fact, the Lidos building, when you're going down, the 5, just after the split, that used to be the old TRW building, and they were one of our first customers. So he was there digging holes in the dirt, installing the soil moisture sensors with all 300 former employees watching him do so, which must have been a great experience for him. A few years later, he realized, you know, while soil moisture sensing was great because you could reduce irrigation, you know, because you'd be able to detect exactly how much water is in the soil and cut off the irrigation or even not irrigate if it was wet enough. What he felt was missing was how much should you have watered in the first place? And so he, along with our, you know, ultimately our chief engineer, ended up developing the first landscape irrigation controller, and that came to market in 1989. And it was all soil moisture sensor based. But a few years later, they realized, you know, weather-based is really the right approach because it's a much easier to understand. As it gets hotter, it waters more. As it cools, it waters less. And when it rains, it doesn't water at all. And so they were able to develop this product. And we've now gone through several iterations of that product. Started off with 30 different buttons that, you know, and you had special codes you had to push in, kind of like video game, up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, to get into special modes. And now it's all menu-driven, cloud-based with, you know, mobile interface so users can walk around, turn valves on and off with their system, with their smartphones. We even offer a smartphone for those people who don't have them, which is a very ruggedized version. You know, at this point, we get to work with amazing entities. So we get to work with cities and school districts. You know, throughout San Diego County, we have City of Poway, City of Carlsbad, you know, many parts of San Diego, parts of San Marcos. We also get to work with universities, San Diego State, Cal State San Marcos, USC. You know, as we start to look more nationally, we have some amazing customers, theme parks. SeaWorld's been a long-time customer.
Golf courses, they seem like a big... Yeah, consumer.
Interesting. We don't do a lot with golf courses.
Really?
Golf courses have professional grounds, like sports turf managers.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of them really want more fine-tuned control. So, hey, my roots have grown, you know, a quarter of an inch in the last month, and therefore I need to adjust my watering schedule. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and see, for us, it's really more of set it and forget it. Once you put in your plant type, your soil type, you put in a couple key parameters, and it does the rest for you.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Some of the things that we do best, for example, are flow monitoring, right? We've all been driving down the road and you see the big geyser water spraying. Typically, you know, maybe a kid kicked over a sprinkler head or the landscaper was mowing, didn't realize that the pop-up was still up and fly out the side and you end up with these geysers. Well, you know, if you're running traditional irrigation 15, 20 minutes, that water's flowing 20, 30 gallons per minute. That's a lot of water. And, of course, you irrigate in the middle of the night. That's what the state mandates you have to do.
So nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And you've got sopping wet fields. Maybe, you know, roads are getting wet. I mean, that's an accident waiting to happen. And, you know, with our technology, we actually have machine learning built into the controllers themselves. And within about, even if you have multiple valves, 5, 10, 20 valves on at any given time, within about 20 seconds, we can detect any sort of leak or break, shut off just where the affected area, let everything else keep running, and send you an email the next day, hey, you've got a problem, zone 5's got a break, and that way you can go out targeted to that particular park, fix that particular valve, but everything else stays healthy and green, and you don't even have to think about it.
Perfect. Well, let's talk a little bit about the bigger story that's been very enrolling for the organization and for customers. Maybe talk a little bit about staffing. Like how do you hire? How do you keep your organization, people in your organization, fired up and excited to be working there? So, you know, maybe you got a story or two to share.
Oh, there's so many different stories there to unpack. So I'll try to keep it brief. In terms of our recruiting process, you know, we do focus very heavily on referrals, mm-hmm. Simply because it's so hard to teach somebody to care about the environment and have that purpose-driven attitude. It's very easy to teach somebody how to do a job. One of the things I really want to touch on is how we've done kind of an internship program and how that actually first played out with our very first interns. After I took over, we had been in business for over 30 years, had never done a lick of marketing. So our salespeople and our service team that were spread out throughout the United States, they were the ones who were doing the work, but we had no formal process to do web design or, you know, lead generation or things like that. And so we went to a career fair over at San Diego State University saying, hey, you know, we want interns. And we didn't know what we really wanted interns for. But we got a lot of interest from marketing interns and sustainability interns. San Diego State has an amazing sustainability program. And so we were able to bring in two interns. What we realized was both of them were so passionate about making a difference for the planet, but they didn't really have much marketing experience. One had taken some marketing classes.
The thing you brought them in for.
One had taken some marketing classes. The other had done no marketing at all. So we realized two things. First, we need to get some help. So we actually ended up hiring a fractional chief marketing officer specifically to train them and teach them how to market for CalSense. So understanding how to do a market analysis, how to actually build the tactics around it, how to develop a strategic marketing plan, which is fantastic. But so we had these two young women, both really passionate about making a difference, who both wanted to do marketing, not knowing anything about marketing. We had no idea how to craft an internship. As we were doing the interviews, and we typically do this for all positions to a certain extent, they sit down with me, we walk around a little bit, give a tour, talk about why we do what we do. I give my story, trying to inspire them that, you know, you can make it. Even if, you know, I was on the 5.5-year plan in college, doesn't matter how long you go to college, as long as you can do it, you can make it. For both these interns, we basically presented them with the idea of, you have unique skills and opportunities ahead of you and things that you've done and experiences in the past. Where do you feel like you can add value with what you've done? And so the one who had some marketing experience, she said, I can build your very first marketing plan. Cool. Done. Let's go. The next one, I had no idea what she was going to bring up. She was an environmental studies major with a minor in sustainability. And she came, she said, look, I'm a phenomenal writer. And I believe I can help build a blogging platform for CalSense where we can become a thought leader in water conservation, all things sustainability. And I said, that sounds fantastic. Thought leadership was a new concept to me, but let's see how this goes. You know, and her story is really interesting. We did end up hiring her after her internship. She just blew us away.
The ideal scenario.
Absolutely.
We know how you did.
One of the things that we try to do is we try to, the very first day, really break down those barriers. Especially with young people, it's so hard. You know, you've got this 21, 22-year-old person, and you've got the CEO or an executive director of an organization, the barriers are huge. So there's this positional power, this fear, this anxiety. So we have this program that we go through where we just get to know them very casually, personally. You know, this particular individual, she had mentioned up front that, hey, by the way, the second week on the job, I'm not going to be able to work because I've got, you know, a family event. I'm going to be out of town. We didn't think anything of it. No problem. After that day, she was walking back up to our office with our VP of sales, who she spent the entire day with. And she said, hey, you know, I want to be honest with you. I don't have a family event next week. I'm actually going to Burning Man.
The other one sounded a little bit better.
Yeah. And she felt bad that she was going to be missing work for going to Burning Man. And he said, that sounds amazing. I think that's incredible. And what I think you should do, I think you should write about the sustainability of Burning Man. And so her very first blog post after she had developed the platform on the back end of our website was the sustainability of Burning Man. And it was such a phenomenal piece. And, you know, I read it. I had no clue, right? I mean, you know, you see things, and I'm picturing Mad Max out in the desert. But the fact, you know, everything you bring in, you got to take with you. There's no water. So there's a lot of gray water. So people, you know, reuse water that, you know, to, you know, for laundry and all sorts of stuff for other purposes. And it was just this incredible story. And it just really launched our whole marketing into a whole new arena of water conservation in, you know, besides areas of then landscape irrigation. Another great example we had.
Can I just comment on that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, part of what I'm hearing there is like this whole idea that you've created this passionate, like, hey, we're doing something more significant in the world. But what you want to do is invite other people and say, take that ball and run with it. Where can we go with this? And so your VP of sales, yeah, he did that.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
Like he like let her cut loose. Then she goes, oh, she cuts loose. And so now you look at the domino effect of where this goes.
Exactly.
So it's not about you going, oh, I got this wonderful story and here's how we're going to do it. It's like, no, how do you let everyone have the autonomy, yep, to go do what they do?
Exactly.
Then it 10Xs, then it has some superpowers. That's a great story, yeah. AJ.
Yeah. And so, you know, she was phenomenal. You know, another great intern story. We had a chemical engineering major from Brown University who really wanted to come work with us. And I looked at her and said, we don't do chemical engineering here. We're so far beyond that. You know, software engineering, fine. But she came in and she did the tour and she said, hey, you know what? You've got this really cool soil moisture sensor and it measures temperature. I think I can help develop a way that you can measure electrical conductivity, which would get you information about salinity content in the soil. So, for example, if you over-fertilize, you need to put extra water down because otherwise you can burn the roots of your plant. Or you can actually use that information to realize you don't have enough salinity in soil. You need to fertilize. And so she came in over the summer and actually developed a whole new product for us that we still market today. And it was such an amazing thing. Now she's off in some leadership program at Honeywell. You know, I knew her when kind of concept.
There you go.
And so it's phenomenal that we've been able to do these things. And with a lot of the interns, we also, I have what I call a future leadership program. I'll do basically a live version of an Inconvenient Truth with people. So kind of explaining them, why are we here, right? Showing them all this death and destruction that's occurred due to climate change or the climate crisis, however you want to refer to it. Then the second session, we dive into Simon Sinek's Start With Why. So we watch a little TED Talk. We talk about CalSTEM's why. We talk about their why and try to understand where's the parity and how are we going to align in through your internship and beyond. Beyond that, we do, you know, I teach them about corporate finance. I teach them about sales, teach them about.
They come out of their internship with a master's degree and actually what's it look like to be in business?
Well, and that's really the point because, you know, whether we hire them or they go somewhere else, there's so many times where, you know, you're faced with an opportunity of a new job and you're trying to compare apples to apples, but you don't understand what apples are. You know, and so we have a day that talks about benefits and that gets into 401ks and IRAs and, you know, all the different things the company can offer from a health benefits and things like that. So even if you have two offers, one may be $5,000 less per year, but you get $30,000 worth of benefits. So you got to balance those things out. And so, you know, it's really trying to prepare those people for being leaders within whatever industry they choose, hopefully CalSTEM. But even if they don't, at least that way they're prepared for all the things you don't learn in school.
Wow. If that's what you're doing for interns.
Well, and
can I come work for you, AJ? So,
hey, you know what? We're always hiring. We do, you know, we talked a little bit about how do we, you know, incent and excite our existing employees. And so there's so many things we do. We, you know, touch a little bit about on benefits. And we do all the normal benefits, but we try to do some unique things as well. So for the younger generation, we have student loan reimbursement programs. We have tuition reimbursement. For anybody who has industry certifications, we'll pay for all their continuing education units. We do things like long-term disability and free life insurance just for working for the company. You know, even being a small company, we have a EAP program, employee assistance program, that includes mental health issue, you know, mental health and neck and back care, all free of charge to the employees and their families, because we feel like you're going to be a better employee and more productive if you don't have to worry about those things and you don't have to worry about paying all this money to go see a doctor or to get a second opinion, right? That's the worst thing. You go to a doctor, your insurance covers it, but then you want a second opinion and insurance is like, well, we already paid for that test. Why are you doing it again? And EAP program just slides perfectly in there. You can get your second opinion at no cost.
Awesome.
Which is phenomenal. But we also work a lot with trying to figure out how does each employee develop themselves? And so, for example, last year we did a benchmarking study to make sure that we were remaining competitive from a pay structure. But in doing so, we've also now actually publicized every pay scale for every single role within the company internally. So everybody can see effectively, you know, hey, if I'm a field service representative, you know, this is what the pay scale is. And we're now building programs to allow them, you know, programmatically to kind of move up that scale, whether they want to move laterally. So maybe they're in the 50th, you know, percentile of that pay scale. What are the tools they need to acquire or use or whatever it may be to grow in their role to be better, you know, to A, make more money for them, but B, a better resource for the organization. So for example, moving laterally typically involves being a resource for other people. It's not just about you taking care of your customers anymore. It's how are you supporting other people in their struggles trying to, you know, maybe new hires, whatever it may be, to help them be better at supporting their customers, right? We got some people who are really good at cellular communications or Ethernet Wi-Fi. How are they sharing that information, making it valuable and attainable to other people who may not be comfortable with technology? Similarly, we have programs on how do you move up to the next role. You know, we have a lot of our field service team, so they're out there training customers, teaching them how to use the product. They want to move more into true account manager roles, right, where they're building quotes for those customers to upgrade product, or, you know, maybe a city's building a new park and they want to slide in and, you know, buy some new controllers. They don't want to pass it off to a salesperson. They want to be the point of contact. And so building up a platform for them to do so. We actually have our rep out in Arizona. We're piloting that program with him now, and he's through the roof. You know, he basically got a promotion without having to do any new work, and he's building this program for us. So he's helping identify what are the questions, for example, that he never wants to answer again from a field service perspective. And let's document those questions if we don't already have them and make sure our internal customer service team can answer those questions. Great. Now that we got the first 5 or 10, what's the next 5 or 10? So that way, when somebody has a question, he can say, hey, let me put you in touch with the customer service team. They can help you more efficiently while I help this customer while I'm doing, you know, on-site training and things like that. And it's just really exciting. So now he's building an entire platform for other people to follow in his footsteps to grow within the organization.
That's awesome, AJ.
You know, and I'm an example of, you know, I started as a junior software engineer. I'm now CEO of the company. And being able to build that same path for other people is so exciting.
Without getting any secrets away, where do you see CalSense going in the next 2 to 3 years? Like, what are you guys working on? Some new technologies? Is it through acquisitions? I mean, how are you taking the business to the next level?
Yeah, so we are growing very aggressively right now. So we've got some record growth in the last couple of years that, you know, we're really excited about. A big part of what we're doing is trying to make our product and our services more attainable. So we're already nationwide, but we don't necessarily work in every single state, but we have partners, you know, channel partners in every state, trying to increase our presence. So we're adding new people, for example, into the Mid-Atlantic and into the Midwest and other areas of the country where we don't have a strong presence. But I really think the biggest thing that we're doing, you know, when we look at how we sell product historically, it's been through a capital purchase. So you know, a city may come in and say, hey, we want to swap out all of our old product and put in CalSense. And they do the math, it's going to cost $1 million. Two different ways they typically have done that. Number one, they have to go to city council, get a budget approval. Maybe they have to pass a bond measure in order to make that money available. So that's typically approach number one. Approach number two is we're going to buy, you know, 10% of that every year. And so the first year we get 10% of the product and second year 20 and move on. So within 10 years, we've built out the entire thing as a way to kind of spread the cost. Both are, I'm going to say, inefficient. The first approach can take years. We had a city in Utah, took 7 years to finally get
through the process. You're way better off buying 10% of
time. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the latter approach, which is more feasible, I think, you know, because it is a little easier to get through approvals, you're not realizing the full benefit of the product on day one, which, why are you going to wait 10 years? If you already acknowledge your existing product isn't meeting your needs today, why are you going to wait 10 years until you finally get it all built out? So last year, we released what we call irrigation management as a service. And so it's really more of a subscription model. Okay. So year one, you pay, you know, approximately 10% of the full cost, and you get everything all up front. In fact, we can do the installation for you and ongoing maintenance for you to take it out of your hands. And so that way, you know, it's installed exactly how it's supposed to be installed. And within months, you've already realized your return on investment because you're getting the full benefit of your entire $1 million project for a tenth of the cost. And you just pay that over time. And what's great is, you know, we've got a 10-year warranty. At the conclusion of that warranty, you know, you have product that starts to fail. Well, as long as you're paying, here's your brand new product, right? Mm-hmm. Latest bells and whistles. Now, and maybe even we get to the point where we like our new product better than our old product, and we just swap it out at no cost to you. Because we see the value in, you know, you continuing to use better technology to make better decisions.
Did you guys have to go raise money to be able to do that model?
No. Our ownership structure has changed a little bit over the last years. And so I'm now the owner of CalSense. I've basically made the decision that this is the way we need to go. And so I'm investing whatever the company needs to fund this growth. Because I feel that I'm the bank because that's the way it should be. Right. To me, that's the purpose of the owners. Right. I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing this for the purpose. And so I'm more than happy to continue to invest in the growth of the organization because of the difference that we're going to continue to make.
Wow. Love that.
So, yeah, some of the other things, you know, we're definitely investing heavily in, you know, more machine learning, automation, artificial intelligence. You know, you talk about ChatGPT and all these cool new AI platforms, you know, and we were already there to begin with. I mean, we've had machine learning in our product for over 20 years, but we're, you know, heavily investing more into that area, really focusing on what's that positive customer experience? How do we take the guesswork out of the system? It's like anything you do in the field. I mean, even if you've got a, you know, just your landscape at home, you know, you don't necessarily know if you're overwatering, underwatering, and you may have the smartest controller on the planet, but if you misprogram it, it's garbage in, garbage out. Hey. There are so many things that we can do leveraging that, you know, machine learning and analytics to help you understand where your programming errors are and help you uncover them and solve them quickly to the point where you're not wasting more water.
So let's talk water for a moment.
Absolutely. Love water.
Big drought, man. Sounds like we're all going to shrivel up and die about 6 months ago. Now we've had a few of these rain troughs or whatever we call them coming through, right? We got more snow and what to know to do with. We're now got flooding everywhere, raining this week here in San Diego. Where's all that water going? Are we capturing it in any fashion, or a year from now, we're going to be back in the big drought conversation again? What's going on with water in California,
AJ? I love that you talk about this. And first off, I'm going to use a slightly different term. When I think of the word drought, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and drought was a temporary thing. You'd go through a drought, you'd get a bunch of rain, bunch of snow, and the drought would go away. And based on where things are going now, you know, I really try to characterize it more as, you know, an aridification. The state is getting drier, and it's going to keep getting drier. We may have amazing winter storms like we did this year, but unfortunately, most of that water, we are capturing a lot of it. But when you look at, you know, the dams that we have here, they're not enough. You know, if you look in Northern California, for example, they've had these atmospheric rivers, a massive amount of flooding because of water. The soil is already so saturated. All the water can do is sit on top of it and run off. So where does that go? Probably into the ocean.
Ultimately, right?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, some water can get down into the underground aquifers, you know, so that we can use that for, you know, pumping the water up. But again, with as much water as we've gotten and how hard it's come down through these atmospheric rivers, it's not going into the soil quick enough. It can't intake the water quick enough to actually get there. All that runoff, for example, from the Sierra Nevadas is all flowing into these dams. So Folsom Dam is a great example. They had to open their floodgates 50,000 cubic feet per second in order to make sure that the dam didn't fail, because that's how much water was flowing down that watershed into that dam or into that reservoir. And so they opened up these great, you know, the reservoir. All that water goes into the rivers and it all goes back into the ocean. You know, the two areas where we get most of our water from throughout the year is the Colorado River and the Sierra Nevada snowpack. And the snowpack has been great this year, but unfortunately, these atmospheric rivers end up basically melting the snow. There's so much water hitting it that is converting that snow back into water. And the reason the snowpack works is because it slowly is supposed to melt over the course of the spring.
This big rush.
Correct. To continue to fill those dams over the course of the year. That's not happening because we're getting so much water. The reservoirs are already going to be full. We're not going to have enough snowpack, and it's going to melt too quickly to where we're not going to get it. And the Colorado River, unfortunately, most of the storms we've gotten here have stayed here. They haven't gone far enough east to get to where we need for the Colorado River. And so, unfortunately, this isn't going to help. It helps from a short-term perspective, but from a long-term perspective.
The average person going, how can this be? Yeah. That's the worst part.
You know, yeah. It used to be that society, typically 18 to 24 months, to see a shift change. We all get told as kids, hey, we're in a drought. It takes us 18 to 24 months to finally start to actually conserve water. And then—
Then it rains, and then we go, we're done.
Well, then we get out of the drought, and historically, 18 to 24 months later, we would then finally start to, you know, we'd forget the conservation that we were doing. Well, now, I don't know if it's just because of the way that we've, you know, with technology and things like that, it's all like now. You know, we're seeing that time is really compressed.
Well, that's good news.
It's good from a conservation side. It's bad when it rains. So people hear drought, and people generally start to make a different, you know, really start to look at how they're using water quickly and try to reduce it. But as soon as it rains, they forget all of that. And so what we've been seeing here in San Diego County and throughout the state, there's been a lot of increased water consumption because of the rain, because we were like, well, we have all this rain, we might as well use it. Like, but we're not using it because it's all flowing into the oceans.
We need some more infrastructure, I guess, right?
Correct.
Which is a big long-term. We can't buy sprinkler systems, right?
Correct.
I have a hard time building a dam.
Well, you know, you can talk, a lot of people ask about, hey, do you think we can conserve our way out of a drought, right? It's a common question I get. Again, which is why I don't use the word drought anymore. I believe that we can conserve our way into surviving through the aridification that we're experiencing. it's going to require a lot more than just what we're doing at home with 5-minute showers and, you know, putting in landscape irrigation controllers. It's going to require systemic change, including how we do agriculture, right? 85% of our water goes towards agriculture here in California. Shifting the mindset of how to farm more sustainably is a really big challenge. You got massive corporate farms that don't want to shift. You know, when you look at things like hydroponics, which is simply growing plants in water, it's 90% less land and 90% less water than traditional farming for the same output. And when you then combine that with aquaculture, which is fish farming, where you can actually take the waste, you know, talk about a little bit of aquaponics, take the waste of that fish to fertilize the plants, all you have to do is feed your fish and you got a sustainable ecosystem where you're growing fresh produce and sustainable protein source, right? Why aren't we doing more of that? That really needs to happen is, for lack of a term, eating lower on the food chain.
Right.
I'm a big meat eater. Don't get me wrong.
That's a huge problem.
I really don't like vegetables.
What is it? Like a hamburger is like 600 gallons or some crazy thing.
It's insane. And you know, many years ago, they had a movement called hashtag Meatless Mondays, started by, you know, several young people that, hey, if you can just not eat meat one day, because it's the amount of water necessary to grow the plants necessary to feed the cows and then process the meat and all stuff, it adds
up.
That
whole food chain is huge. Yeah,
exactly. And so that's another aspect where, you know, a little bit of a change can make a substantial difference over time. And so I think if we can just move towards some of those techniques, then we can absolutely live through this. But right now, you know, San Diego, we have enough groundwater and fresh water to support a couple 100,000 people. We have over 3 million people in San Diego County.
We got lots of people.
Yeah. And so, you know, the only thing we can do right now is import that water, and our sources of importing are literally drying up. So we all need to do our part.
We're out of time, AJ.
Oh, that was quick.
I know. Time flies. One big question.
Yes.
What's the big idea? Someone's listening to this in their car, getting up, going to go in the office. Out of all things we talked about, what's the big idea you'd like to leave them with?
The biggest idea really is that we all can make a difference. When, for example, you know, they talked about, hey, let's all stop using plastic straws because they all end up in the ocean. We proved that people could stop using plastic straws. And we proved that people could stop using plastic bags at the grocery store, that reusable bags or worst case paper bags, much more sustainable. Every little thing we do, even if you don't feel like it makes a difference, every gallon you save makes a difference. You know, only about 2% of the water on this planet is fresh water. And a lot of fresh water, unfortunately, is encapsulated in our, you know, polar ice caps and in water vapor. And so all the water that's here on this planet today has been here since the planet was created, right? Or since we had water on the planet. We can't make more water today. We don't have the science to do it. So we need to figure out how do we preserve this extremely precious resource as much as possible for the beneficial uses. And while I would love to say beneficial uses are all for us, it's also about maintaining habitats and maintaining our environment. You know, you alluded to earlier about, hey, we need more infrastructure, you know, to trap more water. Well, you know, if we build more reservoirs, we're destroying natural habitats. All right, so there's this fine—
What's the consequences?
Right, there's this fine balance, but beneficial use includes all of that. Again, every gallon we can save today is going to allow that water to another beneficial use beyond whatever way we're wasting it today.
So everyone has a role to play.
Absolutely.
Everyone can make a difference. Well, AJ, I want to thank you for taking the time to come to the show today and sharing your amazing experience, insights, and wisdom. And for all the amazing work you're doing, not just, I mean, you're doing this in a really critical space. You know, water is a commodity or a resource that there's a limitations to it, and doing some amazing work in that space here locally and around the country. So thank you for that. So that is our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, who are all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we are all counting on you.